From the Radio.com Sports Desk, here's what we know.
MLB hot stove alert. Royals have officially signed Billy Hamilton to a one-year deal with a mutual option for 2020. The Blue Jays released Troy Tulowitzki. Pirates trade Ivan Nova to the White Sox. And Andrew McCutchen has signed a three-year deal with the Phillies. Les Miles got his first big recruit today. 6'5", 225-pound junior college quarterback Thomas McVitie is the number three pro-style quarterback in the junior college ranks. I'm Nick Price. That's what we know. Now back to the show.
Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Fanning here, Nick the Quick, back at the studio. Fanning, let me know whenever you want to have the conversation of we continue to see more and more that the Eric Hosmer contract would have been bad for the Royals. Because I'm willing to have that conversation. You want Troy Tulowitzki signed that big-time deal, a terrible contract for his team. That when you sign those big-time deals, unless you're the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers, it is not good. It's good for the. It's great for the player. It is terrible for those teams.
We act like the Blue Jays don't have any money up there. The Blue Jays are freaking loaded. They got one team in Canada. I mean, they got a ton of TV money. They got a ton of cash up there. They can absorb it.
I'm just the Royals couldn't have absorbed it with Hosmer.
No,
I just want to point out that one thing.
We knew that the Royals were going to struggle for the next few years. They wanted Hosmer.
They wanted nothing to do with him, give him that money.
They wanted Hosmer's leadership. They wanted his guidance throughout the rebuilding process.
This city would have turned on Hosmer had he signed
maybe,
that deal.
Maybe.
Would have turned on Hosmer.
Maybe.
They turn on everybody. That's the way sports is.
Maybe.
That's the way
it is. Have they turned on Alex Gordon? I don't think they have all that much.
You don't think so?
I think some have, but not all of them have. I don't think so. I think when you win a championship,
he's going to make twice as much as Alex Gordon, too.
They want a ring in Kansas City, man, in baseball. You know, in the modern era of baseball, you're telling me that doesn't build up some nice political equity, man? Like, you are set for a while. You are insulated for a long time. They knew the Royals weren't going to be good. They wanted guidance and leadership. We're loving up Mahomes for getting up there in that defining leadership moment after Kareem Hunt got cut, and then we just poo-poo it when it comes to Eric Hosmer.
So coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll catch up with Bob Sutton. Bob Sutton talked about Eric Berry, also talked about Phillip Rivers. We'll talk about him coming up in just a bit. But many of you have been asking, what does it mean for the Chiefs to win? What does it mean for the Chiefs to lose against the Los Angeles Chargers? Oddly enough, the game doesn't mean what I think people, at least what the perception is. The Chiefs can afford to lose the game to the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, it is not a must-win in that context. Basically how it works when it comes to the tiebreakers and the division. All the Chiefs got to do to win the AFC West and to be the one seed is win two of the next three games. It doesn't matter what combination that they do. They can win the next 2 weeks and sit out week 17. They can lose this week and then win the last two games against the Seattle Seahawks and the Oakland Raiders. As long as you win any combination of two of the next three games, you are the one seed. You are the winner of the AFC West. So from that standpoint, it doesn't matter. I think where the conversation is going to come in, if they win, and we can have the conversation a little bit early, is I'd rather you go ahead and get those two wins out of the way and then treat week 17 like a preseason game. I'm not going to be the one having the argument when it comes to rest of, oh, what about the 2 weeks? No, I think the best two things you can have in the NFL is being the healthier team and the team that's at home. So if you're telling me heading into that Week 17 game, if you take care of business over the next 2 weeks, you can play Mahomes for one series, two series on Week 17. Mm-hmm. That Raiders game doesn't matter. You then get a chance to get Tyreek Hill 100%. You got a chance to get Spencer Ware 100%. You got a chance to get Sammy Watkins and get all your key pieces back to 100%. That's what I would pick. So you will not hear any conversation from me about this team needs to be playing Week 17. You got to win any two of these three games. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and get those two wins knocked out of the way so you can coast in week 17.
Yeah, and these are going to be the two tough ones too. I mean, I firmly believe that if the Chiefs can beat the Chargers and beat the Seahawks on the road on Sunday Night Football, if you watched any of that Seahawks game last night, that's a tough place to play. All right, and the Seahawks, you know, not the best team in the world for sure, but I mean, they're a gritty, tough team, especially on defense. So they've got two tough games ahead of them. Thankfully, they've got 10 days to get ready for the Seahawks and Sunday Night Football. But I'm with you, man. Like, I don't worry about this team. I initially thought, like, man, okay, Mahomes in his first year as a starter, if they win these first two games, then you don't really play him against the Raiders. Then they've got 2 weeks off. And then, man, it kind of freaks me out. But there's so many veteran guys on this team that have been through that to where they've had a week off. You know, and then they came back and they had the first round bye. They lost at Arrowhead. They still remember how that feels. I'm not worried about that at all. And the other thing too, see that there's a difference between getting rest and getting time to heal. And I think that's what the Chiefs need. Rest is always great. You always need it, especially at this point in the year. But time to heal, because if you look at that injury report, hell, Mahomes is on the injury report with a left wrist today. You know, I mean, you've got Tyreek, you've got Spencer Ware with two injuries, a shoulder and a hamstring. You know, you've got, you know, Anthony Hitchens has a quad issue. If you look, the injury report, it's starting to get a little bit longer now for the Chiefs. So rest is great. Time to heal is even better. So take care of these first two and get it out of the way.
And maybe I am the only person that feels this way when it comes to the Chiefs schedule. I do not want to be in a must-win scenario at Seattle. That's what it would be. It would be a, if you drop this game, I don't think they will, but let's at least go down the logic train. If you lose this game, you are then forced to win your last two games, and it is a must-win game on Sunday night at Seattle.
Yeah.
Man, that's not a situation I would want to be in if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather have that be the throwaway game. Now, ideally scenario, you can rest on week 17, but if you're telling me the worst-case scenario is you got to take care of business at home against the Oakland Raiders and then you get the bye week, that's not a bad scenario.
Yeah.
I would say that is the better scenario over you have to win on Sunday night football at Seattle.
Yeah.
That's not a scenario I want to be in. I would say ideally you take care of business this week, you take care of business next week. I'm not saying you steal one, but I think Seattle's going to play the Chiefs pretty tough
Absolutely
in that scenario because Seattle desperately needs that game to make the postseason. So you take care of business over the next 2 weeks, and then you can rest week 17. But I'm telling you, you do not want to drop this game and be forced to, in order to win the AFC West, in order to have a bye week, you do not want to be in a situation where you have to win on the road on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right now Seattle is locked in as the 5 seed. In the playoffs. But, you know, if Kansas City goes in there and knocks them off, that gives us a 6-loss. You know, the Seahawks, they're fighting for their lives too, man. They're fighting for the right to stay in there in that playoff hunt. So, yeah, the Chiefs got to do it. I mean, take care of these next two. And I think the Chiefs can do it. But, you know, this is the time when you're going to be seriously tested. You got some guys on the injury report. You're dealing with some nagging injuries. You got some guys out. You know, I mean, you don't want to have to play you don't want to have that Raider game mean something. And go out there and then potentially somebody else gets hurt. I mean, the ultimate situation would be is to be able to give these guys rest and not even have to play that last game against the Raiders at home at all. That's what you want. Because I'm with you, man. The last thing you want is having a must-win game at Seattle on Sunday Night Football. All you had to do was watch a little bit of that Monday night game last night to see how tough Seattle is. I mean, that's a tough football team up there.
I mean, I would say Seattle, actually the Chiefs might actually be the answer for most surprising team in the NFL. But I thought Seattle was going to be bad this year. I thought it was going to be a rebuilding year. That team is way tougher than I think people had anticipated. Earlier today, Bob Sutton met with the media. He started off talking about Eric Berry, who could be giving it a go Thursday night.
We'll keep him, and you know Rick's gonna keep it. if he plays all the time. I mean, you know how much I don't know what he's gonna do yet, and just wait and see. But it'd be all of us, and certainly his input is valuable. But you know, a lot of times, you know, guys that have missed a lot of time, they don't want to come back out. You know, they've been waiting all this time to get in. But you got to be smart, and he's got to be smart with it, which I think he would be. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes, you know.
Maybe the big difference in you and I when it comes to talking about Eric Berry, I'm just a little surprised. I thought you and I were going to be on the same page this week when it came to EB is I just believe Adam Schefter. Like, I just believe Jason Lock and Four. Like, I don't believe the Chiefs when it comes to this. I think the Chiefs have been playing it close to the vest, and you can't match their words with their actions all season. So when I see Adam Schefter say before the game against the Baltimore Ravens that Barry's not playing in this one and it appears likely that he's going to play on Thursday, man, Schefter's just not somebody that misses a whole lot. So Schefter, to me, heard that from somebody in the know with the Kansas City Chiefs. And more we thought about it, man, the plan was always either for him to play on Sunday against the Ravens or play in this Thursday game. Man, there ain't that many games left if you're going to play in the regular season. We admit, you got to play at some point in the regular season. And the Chiefs are at the point where if week 17 doesn't matter, there's no reason to have anybody out there that matters for a prolonged period of time. So if you're Barry, you know for sure you got 2 games to get yourself ready for the postseason. So, I mean, if he doesn't play in this game, we got to have a real serious conversation of if Barry's playing at all this year. To me, this has always been the target date or last week of Barry needs to play by this date to be ready to play this season.
Yeah, I just, like you said, I expected the Chiefs to be a little bit more definitive when it came to Barry when we got to this game. Because to me, if he's had, you know, over 2 weeks of practice now and we got a game coming up and they're still saying the same thing that they were saying way back when, that's the part that grabs my attention. You know, I was the guy initially, you know, even in the preseason that was super concerned about Eric Berry, and I was told how crazy I was. He's got a bone spur rubbing on his Achilles. It's a pretty serious deal, especially when you're trying to play football and run fast and hit people. So That's the only reason why I'm skeptical on whether or not he's going to play. Maybe Adam Schefter knows something I don't. Maybe things have changed since the last time Schefter tweeted about it.
I mean, Schefter probably knows something you don't and I don't.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I'm just saying the Chiefs are saying the same thing, okay? They're saying the same thing. You know, I started to buy into it a little bit when he was on the practice field. Okay, great. You know, you had me talked into him maybe getting a few snaps in the Ravens game. I thought that was going to happen. It didn't. And now the Chiefs are coming out and saying the exact same stuff. You know, it's not like, you know, they're trying to – I don't think gamesmanship's going to play into this game against the Chargers. I don't think they're doing that. So, man, why not just say if the guy's going to play, hey, he's going to go. He's ready to go. I don't think the Chiefs know if he's ready to go. I really don't. I mean, in my heart of hearts, that's the way I feel.
Text line 69306, are you factoring in what New England and San Diego can do? Because if we lose on Thursday, then is it a must-win for those last two if New England and San Diego loses again? Anybody telling you otherwise is wrong. I hate to say that, call anybody out, but I'm just telling you the truth. The facts are the Chiefs have to win any two of the next three games. It does not matter what they are. Like, people are saying, what about New England? The game, the loss that New England had just to Miami, they're at four losses already. So unless you're losing two of the next three, you got to win any two of the next three. I don't care. You can lose the game on Thursday. That means you got to win at Seattle and you got to win Oakland. Whatever combination you pick, if they do that, they are the one seed and they win the AFC West. That's it. Because the Chargers cannot have a better record than the Chiefs if they both if the Chiefs at least win two of the next three. And the Chiefs, no matter what happens, will have the tiebreaker over the Los Angeles Chargers if they have the same record.
Yeah. So it's as simple as it could possibly be, right? I mean, there's not some crazy equation to figure out what the Chiefs have to do to get the number one seed and win the division. Win two of the next three and it's done. You know, hell, even if you lose to the Chargers and win the next two, you win the tiebreaker with the Chargers. So it's really that simple. And I mean, I do like the, even though this game scares me a little bit because the Chiefs are banged up, I do love the Chiefs' chances in this thing because the Chargers are banged up and they got to travel and it's going to be cold and rainy at Arrowhead. So I don't have any doubt that the Chiefs are going to win this game. I really don't, even though I have some concerns. But when it comes to winning the football game, I think they're going to take care of the Chargers.
Next up, Bob Sutton talked about future Hall of Famer Philip Rivers saying his media availability.
Fortunate probably. He had a few yards last time we played him, I think, you know, if I remember correctly there. In the fourth quarter, he had a ton of them. So, but he's, you know, Philip is like, he's playing like lights out. I mean, 69% completions, you know, he's 114 quarterback rating. I think he's probably playing right now as well as he's ever played. And I think he's a dynamic guy. I've said this about him a lot. For whatever reason, he doesn't get mentioned, you know, with some of these other quarterbacks. And, you know, his numbers and his importance to his team is to me, you know, second to none. And one of the things, again, you know, you respect about the guy. I've seen him when they've had a lot of injuries, and he doesn't blink. He doesn't change his expectations for himself or the other players. And he's a tough customer, you know. So anytime we get the ball from him, we feel fortunate, you know.
So that was Bob Sutton today talking about Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers in their first matchup was 34 for 51, probably had about seven drops in that game, 424 yards passing, three touchdowns, and one interception. I don't think the Los Angeles is going to run the ball a lot in this game. No Melvin Gordon, no Austin Eckler, at least as of now. I don't think either one of those guys play in the game. This is going to be one of the games that Rivers is going to throw the ball 45, 50 times, and it's really going to test this pass defense. Coming up in just a bit, we take our first trip for the week around the NFL. Boy, my guy Kirk Cousins had a very long night yesterday. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in just a bit, the Chargers have to answer one very simple question heading into this game, but we got to tell you about where we are today.
Yeah, we're down at the Community Blood Center at 4040 Main Street, KC Mo. It is the 21st annual Chiefs Blood Drive today. They're going to be open until 6 o'clock down here. You come down, and the donors are going to receive a special Chiefs-designed T-shirt, a chance to win a Mahomes jersey.
Coming up in just a bit, we will get back into Chiefs and Chargers. But as we do every Tuesday at this time, it is time to take a trip around the NFL. Hit it, Nick.
All right, C-Dot, let's start you off with what happened last night in Seattle. The Vikings spent $84 million on a quarterback in Kirk Cousins that I'm not a fan of. And ended up firing their offensive coordinator today. So is it Kirk Cousins the problem, or is it the coaching?
I'm starting to think the problem is Kirk Cousins.
Thank you. I told you this a long time ago.
I'm starting to feel like that's the case. It's not that Kirk Cousins doesn't win big games. He doesn't win any of the important games that you have. Like, at some point, the problem is you, you know? Like, in Washington, you didn't win the big games.
No.
And then you went to Minnesota. The problem is you. So, no, I got to blame Kirk Cousins. I'm trying to find this stat here I had on Kirk Cousins. Here it goes. He is 0-7 on Monday Night Football. He is 5-13 in his career in night games. That's a you thing, bro. I'm sorry. That is a you thing. You don't win the big time games against the big time opponents. At some point, you got to hand us. At some point, you got to turn in your work.
I think the Vikings probably wish they still had Case Keenum, don't you?
I don't know about that.
I don't know, man. Listen, I'll go with what Booger McFarland said last night. There's a reason why the Redskins didn't want to give him a long term deal. I mean, the team that knows you the best let you walk. And the Vikings gave the guy $84 million guaranteed. I never liked the guy from the beginning. As a starting quarterback, the only thing he can win is big-time money, which is good. But when you're a quarterback, you got to win some games. All right, moving on.
I mean, last year's team was just better than this year's team. Like, last year's team, I think, defensively was better, and they could run the ball better.
What did he do in Washington, though?
No, I mean, I'm with you. I'm just saying, like, he's better than Case Keenum. Like, I understand not being down on – I understand not being high on Kirk Cousins, but goodness gracious, let's not put him in the category of Case Keenum.
Okay, but let's give – if the Vikings had Pat Mahomes and he had Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, how would they do?
Of course, Mahomes is better than Kirk
Cousins.
That's
what I mean. This guy's got $84 million
guaranteed. I'm just arguing that he's better than Case Keenum.
Yeah, all right.
Who is Alex Smith like?
Number two, the Cowboys are a different team after the trade for Amari Cooper. They beat the Saints. Their defense is really good. The NFC East is essentially theirs to lose. Are you buying that the Cowboys are a legit Super Bowl contender, C-Dot?
I don't believe in Dak Prescott. I wish that I could. I wish that I could put my heart and trust into Dak Prescott. I can't. You want to talk about Alex Smith light? That's who Dak Prescott is. He's been fooling us. You know how we used to say with Alex Smith that you need everything to be right.
Yeah.
You need a top-flight receiver. You need a great running game. You need a good offensive line.
Yeah.
Man, that appears to be the same for Dak Prescott. I like him, don't love him. I do think what Dallas does long-term with Dak Prescott is one of the more interesting things in the NFL. I think he's capable. I don't know if you're ever going to take that next step with him as your quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not one of the great ones. If he doesn't have Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, a really good offensive line, and a great defense, I don't think he's much of anything. So I'm not buying these guys as a legit Super Bowl contender. All right, C-Dot, explain the Pittsburgh Steelers to me. They tie the Browns. They put together a terrific comeback against the Chiefs, down 21-0. They score 52 on the Panthers. They lose to the Raiders. Who in the hell are the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I mean, if I could explain the Pittsburgh Steelers to you, I'd be Mike Tomlin. I don't think Mike Tomlin has the answer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're hot and you're cold. You're yes and you're no. You're in and you're out. You're up and you're down. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't do it. No, yeah. I cannot do it. I understand that it is a week-to-week league. It is an any-given-Sunday league. I don't know how you put your faith in the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially when you look at – you can give me Brady. You can give me Belichick. You can give me Mahomes. You know who the Pittsburgh Steelers are? They're the East Coast Los Angeles Chargers. Nope. Stay as far away from that team as legitimate Super Bowl contender that you can. Can't do it.
They're bipolar, tripolar, quadpolar. I don't know what they are, man. They got a bunch of different personalities. I'm not buying the Steelers either. All right, C-Dot, finally, in a consequence-free world, I really wish Leonard Fournette could go after the fan that was screaming racial slurs at him over the weekend. Breaking news here. Fans are jerks, too. I know you think you buy a ticket. You can say whatever you want. You can taunt. You can heckle. You can do all those things. But you can't. You can't say and do the things that you did to Leonard Fournette. And I'm not going to say what they said to him. You can go look it up on the internet if you want to. But I don't blame him for being mad.
I mean, racial slurs, I assume it was the N-word.
Well, it was that, and it was another one, too. So how and when will this ever stop? You think it'll ever stop? Like, fans being this stupid?
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
You think of NFL games where you combine women.
Yeah.
Testosterone.
Uh-huh.
Alcohol.
Yes.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
You think they're ever going to stop doing stupid things in that scenario?
Well, I don't think you're asking them too much to stop with the racial slurs.
I don't disagree with you, but I think we've seen over the history of time that when you have certain combinations, like that's like asking at the club why people fight. Because you combine alcohol and women and testosterone all in one place. At some point, people are getting confrontation.
Yeah.
At the NFL game, you're watching guys collide into each other, so you're already raw and aggressive. And then you combine, you're probably drunk in these scenarios. And then you combine the freedom that you feel when you buy a ticket. No, people are always going to do dumb things at NFL games. I would say it's even encouraged. Look at the internet. How many times do we see dumb things from Buffalo Bills fans? I feel like the internet, they egg Buffalo Bills fans on to light themselves on fire and jump on chairs.
I mean,
so
it's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to scream racial slurs at players. Like, that's
I'm certainly not going to be on the side of people screaming racial slurs. I'm just simply saying it's never going to stop.
You want to get drunk, you want to be loud, I got no problem with that. You start screaming racial slurs at people, then I got a problem with you. I mean, that part is completely unacceptable. Charles Barkley was on TMZ today, and somebody put a camera on him when he was coming out of a restaurant.
Always the great words of wisdom.
Sure.
One Charles Barkley.
I love Charles Barkley. And Barkley basically said, you just got to walk away from it if you're a player. But fans need to understand that, man, you catch a guy on the wrong time and it's not in a game situation, and they're going to knock you know what out. Like, those dudes can mess you up. And if you don't – listen, here's my advice to any fan. If you don't have the stones to go up and say it to that guy's face when you're walking by him on the street, then don't scream it at a game. It's really that simple. That's around the NFL.
If you guys missed it, the Seahawks, with their win yesterday, if they win next week, they are in the playoffs. One of the more surprising teams in the NFL when it comes to them. I know they had Russell Wilson. I didn't really think the Seahawks had a whole lot else. Their defense is even better than I thought they were going to be this season. The Vikings. We talk bad about the Vikings. They would still make the playoffs if it ended today. Like, they still have a chance to make the playoffs this year with how disappointing they were. This is from Andrew Siciliano. He works for NFL Network, so I know his numbers are good. And the Bears can win the NFC North next Sunday if they beat the Green Bay Packers. So that's a very simple, at least the NFC portion of it. Seahawks winning, you're in. The Vikings would still make the playoffs today. They hold the sixth seed, so they control their own destiny. And the Bears can win the NFC North. The Bears would certainly be a team that I would not like to play in the postseason. They can play good defense.
Yep.
That's not a team I would want to play, especially when I think we've seen that the two offenses in the NFC maybe aren't as dynamic as they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, the Bears are scary. I'm going to be honest with you. After seeing the Ravens up close and personal, that's a team that I'm a little bit scared of in the playoffs, man. What about you? I mean, if the Chiefs have to face them, play that great defense, run the football down your throat, dominate the clock in cold weather, I don't think I want any part of those guys. I mean, they came into Kansas City. They should have won that game. You know, so, yeah, that's a team, at least on the AFC side of it. You know, you look at it from a record standpoint, like, yeah, okay. But you watch the way they play and the way they match up against the Chiefs, I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, styles make fights. I mean, that's certainly not a good matchup, I would say, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, there is a very simple question when it comes to the Los Angeles Chargers and the Chiefs matchup on Thursday. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a bit, we'll have a conversation about the Chiefs' defense. Terez says something earlier with our conversation with him that I think puts you firmly on one side or the other when it comes to how we look and evaluate the Chiefs' defense. We'll get into that, and there's a question that the Chargers have to answer. But first, we got to tell you about where we are today.
Yeah, we're down at the Community Blood Center seat out at 4040 Main Street in Kansas City, Missouri. It is the 21st annual Chiefs Blood Drive. They're open till 6 o'clock. Now, the goal is to get 300 people to give blood today. We're halfway home. You got an hour and a half to get down here and help. The goal is 300 donors today. You got 90 minutes to get your butts down here and give some blood and help some people out. All donors are going to receive a special Chiefs design T-shirt. They're going to be entered in a raffle for Chiefs memorabilia that includes a Patrick Mahomes jersey. I know you want that. So, again, we're at the Community Blood Center at 4040 Main in Midtown in Kansas City, Mo. Come down and see us. You get a Chiefs T-shirt, a chance to win a Mahomes jersey. And on top of that, you get to help somebody around the holiday season.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll play for you what Terez had to say earlier today about the Chiefs defense. We'll get to that. But I am a firm believer that at some point you got to prove it to me for me to believe you. Like, we think about the Big 12. Man, I've heard for the last 10 years about all these other newcomers to the crown, whether it be Baylor when they've had some good teams, whether it was Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State. We keep hearing about all these other teams. Man, at some point, I'm happy that we got out of that conversation up. Until a team can actually beat Kansas in a full 18-game Big 12 schedule, we got to stop having these conversations. Now, I'm not saying that the Chiefs have that level of dominance over the AFC West or over the Los Angeles Chargers, but I bring that up to say this. Why should we believe that the Chargers are any different? What have they done to prove to you, the NFL fan, that they're a different team, especially when they play the Chiefs? Like, if we go back to that last matchup, we can play the what-if game about the Chargers all day. If the Chargers make a couple more plays here, a catch here, a block here, the Chargers win that game, it's a completely different game. But they always make those mistakes against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, at some point, the Chargers, I think more than anything, is they desperately want to sell to you, the NFL public, that they're different, that this year is different than any other of the last couple of years. man, at some point you got to prove it in between those white lines, and you got to prove it based on your resume and things you have accomplished. It was a good win against Pittsburgh. I think we see how hot and cold Pittsburgh is, but that's a good win. Man, what gets you in that conversation is beating the elite teams in the NFL. The Chiefs have proven they're in that conversation. The Rams are in that conversation. The Patriots are in that conversation. At some point, the Chargers got to hand you one of those marquee wins, I think, for people to truly believe in them this year.
And you don't think that marquee win was on the road against the Steelers?
I don't think so, no.
See, I do. I mean, this is a 10-win team, and they went on the road. They won at Pittsburgh. They got three losses this year.
I just think we see how hot and cold Pittsburgh can be. Pittsburgh could beat New England this week. They also can lose to the Raiders. I'm not saying it's a bad win. I'm not trying to knock the Steelers win. I just think we see how hot and cold the Steelers are in that game. I mean, they were up double digits in that game. You think they're going to coast to it, and then they fall down the stretch. I don't know what they're going to be from a week-in, week-out basis. They're kind of like the Chargers. I'm not saying the Chargers are a bad team by any means, but I would say I think we've seen that at least the Chiefs and the Patriots are always going to continue to be on that level because they're the Patriots of the best teams in the NFL, or excuse me, the best teams in the AFC. And then to me, there appears to be a division between a team like the Chargers, a team like the Texans who just lost to the Colts, and a team like the Steelers. I don't think those teams have nearly been as consistent as the other two teams.
I mean, two of the Chargers' three losses, and I think the Chiefs are going to win this game Thursday night. That's not where I'm going with this. But two of the three losses are the Chiefs and the Rams. Right? The other one, they laid an egg and lost to Denver at home by 1 point, 23-22. We're talking about how tough of a win it's going to be for the Chiefs to go on the road and beat the Seattle Seahawks next Sunday night. They went on the road. They beat the Seattle Seahawks. They did that in November. So I think this team is a little bit different. I'm not saying it's this world beater division champion team, but it's a team that won double digits for the first time since 2009. You know, they were 9-7 last year, 5 wins, 4 wins the year before that. So I do think this Chargers team's a little bit different.
Let me ask you this. Are they better or are they different? I don't disagree with you that the Chargers are better than they've been in year past.
Yeah.
I'm talking of different. Are they a team that you would trust to go on the road and win in the postseason? Are they a team that you think can realistically win the Super Bowl? If they win this game, we got to start having that conversation. I've never allowed myself to let the Chargers enter the conversation of teams that could win Super Bowls. If when I've talked about the elite teams in the NFL, I've never put the Chargers in that conversation. If you go on the road and beat the Kansas City Chiefs,
then
there's no, you're in that conversation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying about it. There's no denying they're better. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win double-digit games. I mean different of, are they going to be in the tier of teams that we think legitimately can win in January?
I mean, I think they're kind of like the Chiefs. They're kind of like the Chiefs who are coming into this season. They were good, but can they go to Pittsburgh and win? And they did. The Chargers went on the road. Pittsburgh, they won. I mean, I think we've seen enough out of this Chiefs team. They went toe-to-toe with the Patriots in New England, lost that game. They went toe-to-toe with the Rams, and they lost that game. And we all agree that the Chiefs made a step up this year. I think the Chargers have taken a step up. All right? I think that win at Seattle, the win at Pittsburgh are good wins. You talk about this team going on the road and being a problem for a team in the playoffs? Yeah. I mean, they're a better road team than they are at home. You know, they lost to Kansas City at home. They lost to Denver at home. And the other loss was actually in L.A., but it was at the Coliseum against the Rams. I mean, this team's a really, really good road team. Now, I think the quick turnaround on a Thursday night game is tough. And, I mean, road teams typically don't win these games. So I don't think the Chargers are going to roll in here without Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler and come in and beat the Chiefs. I don't think that's going to happen. But if we're just talking, you got a typical regular week to get ready and the Chargers are rolling into Kansas City for a noon start, you know, then I think, okay, we got a pretty good fight on our hands. I do think this team is different. I think it's a better team, and I would have been with you. And until they beat the Steelers, I'm on your side of like, yeah, okay, same old Chargers. You're watching part of that game, and it's Sunday night game, and they're down 23-6 or whatever it was at halftime. And you're like, yeah, whatever. And same old Chargers. They came out and they won the game.
Do we maybe see that the Steelers were a little bit overvalued?
Maybe, but it's still a tough place to go win. It's still tough to go win at Pittsburgh in a night game at Heinz Field. That's a really, really good win. And I'm giving them credit now for the Seattle win too. They went up to Seattle and beat the Seahawks at their place. You know, and the Chiefs still have to do that. So this Chargers team has taken a step. Are they better than the Chiefs? I don't think so. You know, are they closer to the Chiefs? Yeah. If the Chiefs had all their weapons right now, I don't think the Chargers come in here and have a shot. But the Chiefs don't have all their weapons right now, and the Chargers don't either. But I think this team is better. I think it's a team that deserves your respect. It's not the same old Chargers, in my opinion. And the Pittsburgh win, for me, sealed the deal that it's not the same old Chargers.
The reason maybe I don't give the Chargers the respect that you do is when I saw these two teams play each other, it appeared to be the exact same game that we've seen.
Yeah, but that was week one of the season.
I know,
though.
But I can only go off what we've seen these two teams play each other. So over the last 9 games, we've seen the Chargers play the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a 12-point margin for victory. These games are not typically close whenever the Chiefs and the Chargers play each other. Last year, whenever the Chargers were the hottest thing since sliced bread, came into Kansas City, similar scenario, quick turnaround, Thursday Night Football, got smoked in that scenario. The Chiefs in their 9 games against the Los Angeles Chargers and San Diego Chargers, only 4 turnovers in those 9 games. You want to know how many the Chargers have in those 9 games?
Yeah, a bunch.
18.
Yeah.
The Chargers always beat themselves in that scenario. Chiefs quarterbacks in those matchups have a 106 quarterback rating. Rivers has a 71 quarterback rating. So all I'm saying is I keep hearing all these numbers of, oh, man, they beat Seattle. Oh, they beat X, Y, and Z. At some point, you got to prove to me you can beat the Chiefs. The same conversation we had with the Chiefs when it came to the Broncos. The Chiefs could beat everybody in the NFL. They could beat Seattle. They could beat New England. They could beat anybody in the NFL. They could never beat Peyton Manning. They could never beat the Broncos. So you couldn't talk about them winning the AFC West. Man, the Chargers got to prove to me the exact same thing, because the numbers would suggest when you play the Chiefs, you lose. It doesn't matter if it's week one, doesn't matter if it's week 14, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Alex Smith, doesn't matter if it's Patrick Mahomes. The one thing we've known since 2013 is when the Chiefs and the Chargers play each other, Phillip Rivers and the Chargers are going to lose. So at some point, you got to prove to me that you're different against the Chiefs.
I'm not arguing with you on that point. I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, if you lose 9 straight to somebody, then yeah, you got to prove that you can beat them. All I'm trying to tell you is that I think this Chargers team is different than teams in past years. I mean, how many times have we talked about the Week 1 game? A couple of passes that got dropped. That could have been a completely different football game.
That's only what the Chargers do, though, to be fair.
You're right. Fair enough. But you know, it's Week 1 of that season. Do I think the Chiefs are going to win this game? Yeah, of course. It's a quick turnaround. They got to fly all the way from L.A. Same reason I thought the Chiefs were going to get beat by the Raiders, you know, when they had a quick turnaround last year when they got off to a 5-0 start. I'm like, it's not a fair fight when you have to travel 2 time zones and play in 3 days. Like, it's not a fair fight. It's just not. So the Chiefs are going to win this game, but I do think this Chargers team is a different team than in years past.
Would you pick L.A. if they were at home in this game?
I would. Absolutely.
I wouldn't pick them.
Yeah, I would. I would totally pick the Chargers in this game. Yeah, they don't have to travel. The Chiefs got to go. I mean, the Chiefs lost last year. I know it's Alex Smith and not Patrick Mahomes, but they're going out there with a banged-up Tyreek Hill, no Kareem Hunt, no Sammy Watkins, no idea what you're going to get out of Kelvin Benjamin, you know, and Spencer Ware may not play. He's got a hamstring and a shoulder injury. So, yeah, I would. I mean, you brought up the stat. What are they, Thursday night teams are 3-10 this year on the road teams?
I mean,
3-10.
I mean, somebody's won on the road, though.
I know, but
somebody's road on the.
You give me a full.
It ain't zero.
You got a full arsenal of guys, and you go out there, I'm picking the Chiefs. But that's not the way it is right now, and the Chargers have it rolling. I mean, it's a 10-win team that has a couple of really quality wins, and that's very anti-Charger in year past.
I mean, sometimes I'd rather be late to the party than early. Like with the New England Patriots. Like, I disagree. Whenever you're having the conversation with Speck, I'd rather be late in believing in the Chargers or in the Patriots than be the one early. I'd rather be late to the party on the Chargers and Chiefs because they've given me no reason. I fell for it the first time earlier. They haven't beat them since 2013.
I understand that.
Charlie Weiss was the coach at Kansas the last time that the Chargers beat the
Chiefs.
They've had 2 coaches since then at KU.
Let me ask you this.
They've won 8 games since then.
Last year's Chargers team, could they have gone on the road and beat Seattle? Could they have gone on the road and beat Pittsburgh? In my opinion, no. And the year before, no. And the year before, no. It wouldn't have happened, but they did it this year. It's a better team.
Yeah, and again, maybe our difference is better than you were last year, or better in the case of you being a legitimate Super Bowl contender, are 2 different things.
Yeah.
I agree with you that the Chargers are better. Do we consider them legitimate Super Bowl contenders? I don't. You do. That's the difference in this.
Well, legitimate Super Bowl contenders, I don't know about that. But I'm just saying I think they're a much better team, and they ought to be. They deserve the respect based on their body of work for this season.
Coming up in just a bit, Therese made a really good point about the Chiefs' defense that I think puts you firmly on one side or the other. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I want to read this text really quickly. I think it goes to one of Fanning's points. Stats, they eventually regress toward the mean. The Chargers will eventually beat us, and this is an extremely important game for them. Don't get me wrong. I think the Chiefs are better, but I also think we're due for a what-just-happened kind of loss. We haven't had one of those yet, and we always end up with one. This is my biggest question, I think, to Chiefs fans, because I think you're kind of in this too. Explain to me how you think this Chargers team beats this Chiefs team, because I keep hearing a lot of, oh, we're due, eventually it's going to happen. Like, we watched the NFL. I watched every Chiefs game this year. I watched a lot of Chargers so far this year. Why do you think this Chargers team is capable of going on the road on Thursday night with the injuries that they have and beating the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't know why you would think that. I legitimately don't know. I'm not saying I think the Chargers are a bad football team. I said from the beginning of the season, I thought they were going to win 11 games. I think I was right about the Chargers. I also think I was right about the Chargers in I don't know if they are – I think – I always believe in a tier system in the NFL. Like, I'm not a power ranking guy. If you listen to the show long enough, you know I'm not a power ranking guy. I am a tier system guy. The Chiefs are in tier one. They've done enough so far this season to prove to me they're in tier one. Man, the Chargers haven't done anything to me to prove they are on the same tier of the Chiefs, the same tier as the Saints, the same tier as the Patriots. They just haven't proven that to me. If they've proven it to you, that's fine. That just hasn't happened for me so far this season.
How good is the Chiefs' pass defense?
I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, it's not. And you were talking about Phillip Rivers, right?
Yes.
About how he should be in the Hall of Fame. All right, well, the Chiefs' pass defense is the worst in the league, ranked 32nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Phillip Rivers didn't turn the ball over like he typically does. I mean, you look at Phillip Rivers over the course of his career, he's a double-digit guy. 21 picks in 2016, kind of came down quite a bit last year, only turned it over 10 times. 13, 18, 11, 15, 20, 13. Phillip Rivers taking care of the football. 29 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions this year, and he's going against the worst pass defense in the NFL. You want to come up with a reason and a way that the Chargers can actually beat the Chiefs? There it is.
How many interceptions did you say? 6?
He's got 6.
Guess which one of those team one of those came against so far?
Well,
this
the
season?
Chiefs, yeah.
It was the Chiefs. That the Chiefs, I don't know what it is. If they could bottle up whatever they do to Phillip Rivers against all the other teams, he has a 71 quarterback rating. Like, the Chiefs, I don't know what Bob Sutton knows about Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, something.
But
man,
they seem to know something about him. Like, when it comes to defending, you remember when Derek Carr was the hottest thing since sliced bread?
Yeah.
They seem to know something about Derek Carr. I don't know what secrets Bob Sutton's got. Maybe he's got
something.
Maybe he's got that green playbook from the Water Boy. I don't know what it is. But whenever they go up against Phillip Rivers, they do a good job defending him.
And by the way, come on down to the Community Blood Center at 4040 Main in Midtown. That's where we're at today. It's the 21st annual Chiefs blood drive down here. They're trying to get 300 donations today. We're creeping up on 200, so we got about an hour and 10 minutes for people to come down and donate. We're starting to get some people to come in, which is awesome. You come down, you get a Chiefs t-shirt, you get a chance to win a Patrick Mahomes jersey. All I'm saying is, man, is that if we think Rivers is Hall of Fame worthy, and he's having one of the best years of his career at age 37.
He just ain't been Hall of Fame worthy against the Chiefs.
But again, what, 14 weeks ago, a couple of guys catch passes, and it's a totally different ballgame. Something's happened to Phillip Rivers. He's not turning it over the last couple of seasons like he did in the past. He's not doing that now. So you want a reason? 32nd, the dead last in pass defense versus a guy who you think belongs in the Hall of Fame.
I want to play for you guys what Terrez Paylor had to say earlier today on the defense, because I think that puts you on one side or the other when it comes to their defense. Hit it for me, Nick.
I mean, they can rush the passer. I'll give them that. But they give up a lot of yards. This team gives up a lot of yards. And, in the playoffs, you got to turn the football over. Like, I mean, that's how you're going to be able to win. But you also can't just be giving up yards like that, just kind of at will, you know. So, yeah, I mean, look, the defense is a problem. It's going to be a problem. The good thing, at least it's not like a toothless defense as it relates to the pass rush, right? Like, at least you got to worry about 55. You got to worry about 95. You got to worry about 50 to a lesser extent. The defense absolutely has to step up to give these guys a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
So that was Terrez Paylor earlier today. I think there are two sides when it comes to the defense. I think it's a very simple. Do the yards matter or do they not matter? Because we've been talking about a bend-and-break defense for the Chiefs, I feel like, ever since Bob Sutton emerged. Ever since the Chiefs got Bob Sutton as their defensive coordinator, we've been talking about bend but don't break. And the belief is that you could move the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs, but you could not score. I think it's very simple when it comes to the Chiefs. This defense, they're going to give up yards.
Yeah,
I think they're improved a little bit from where they were early in the season. They can create a little bit of pressure. They can wreak a little havoc and cause turnovers. This defense is going to give up yards, whether it's throwing the ball like the way I think Rivers is going to do, whether it's running the ball like the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs defense is going to give up yards. It's a very simple, do you think it matters? I think it matters. A lot of you don't think it matters when it comes to this team because they do a decent job of keeping you out of the end zone. I think our conversations about the Chiefs defense really comes down to something that simple.
Well, I mean, I go with the Sean Barber school of thought when it comes to this. Where are they at? Where are they at in points? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You try to keep them off the scoreboard. I mean, it's a very simplistic approach, but it's true. If you keep them out of the end zone, then take as many yards as you want. I don't care. You know, go up and down the field between the 20s. I don't care. Keep him out of the end zone. And I'm completely fine with that. Like, that's really what it comes down to with me. I think the one thing the Chiefs do have going for him when it comes to Phillip Rivers, he ain't the most mobile guy. And the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the league when it comes to getting to the quarterback. So I think that sets up pretty good for them, especially when you've got, you know, Melvin Gordon, who, by the way, was limited in practice today, and Austin Eckler, who didn't practice today, both the running backs. So the running game is going to be taking a hit in Kansas City. And that, to me, is a big – that's good for the Chiefs. Quick turnaround, Chargers coming in without Gordon, possibly Eckler, and that's a plus for the Chiefs. A minus for the Chargers is the fact that they get after the quarterback. Minus for the Chiefs is Rivers can sling it, and he's not turning the ball over like he has in the past. But for me, see, it's really simple. Keep him out of the end zone, and I'm okay with that. Let's look at total points that the Chiefs have given up and go from there, because to me, that's what it really counts. If you keep him out of the end zone, I don't care how many yards you have. Really, I don't care.
I mean, they are 28th in the NFL at total points
this year.
You've
got to be better at that, for sure. You got to be better at that. But they're also 11-2. So they're doing enough, at least at this point, and their two losses are to the Patriots and the Rams, two Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah,
they don't lose a game they shouldn't lose. At least they haven't to this point.
Yeah, maybe where I'm a little bit different when it comes to the points, and again, I think that's kind of where the division is, whether you think the yards matter or the points matter, or the yards matter or they don't when it comes to the team is, I think this year, because we've seen like the evolution of offenses, the teams are scoring more, I think the yards matter more than they did last year. Like, to me, at some point, if you're giving up 500 yards a game, and eventually, like, it's hard to consistently keep NFL teams out of the end zone. Like, even a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, I mean, even that offense is capable of scoring 24, 27 points in the right scenario, and we've seen really good quarterbacks against this team. Man, they turn those points, or they turn those yards eventually into points. But I thought Therese said it really good. I think that's the two school of thoughts when it comes to it.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs are going to be a bend-and-break defense all year.
Yeah.
It's just how long are they going to bend, and do they eventually break?
Yeah, the biggest issue that I have with that, and the biggest concern I have with that, really, and I wrote this in my notes when I was watching the game on Sunday, was, you know, I think the Chiefs were on the field for a long time. I mean, a long time. Their defense was on the field for a long time. Chiefs got the ball back, and I think they had it for like 6 minutes and 49 seconds and didn't score. And I still consider that a win for the Chiefs because that gave the defense a breather. The biggest concern that I have when it comes to the yards thing is that means that defense is on the field for a long time. Because they need to catch their breath. They need to go over there and get some rest. Like, that's the biggest part of it. Other than that, I don't really care about it. You know, I mean, the Chiefs came out and after the Ravens had a long, you know, time-consuming drive. I mean, the Chiefs' defense was on the field forever. And then they got the ball back. They didn't score, but they gave Justin Houston a D4 to Chris Jones and all those guys a chance to catch their breath. They came out and the defense was better at the end. They held them.
I mean, I think the Ravens showed you at least a blueprint. Now, I think the difference is not many teams can run the ball as effectively as the Ravens, and not many teams can play defense. But, I mean, that's how you beat the Chiefs. I mean, at the beginning of that third quarter drive, I mean, defense was on the field for 10 minutes. Like, if you're going to keep the Chiefs' defense on the field like that and keep converting on third downs, it's going to be like – it's hard to score if you ain't got the ball.
I think it's a good point for the text line from the 816. I think everyone used the yards that don't matter because every team was playing from behind. His point being that – hey, they're going to start slinging it and go for it because the Chiefs had such big leads on teams early on. But still, I mean, don't misunderstand me here. I don't think the Chiefs have a great defense, but I think they do enough to get wins, and I'm good with that.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.